Every time that we come to the Bible, we're going to come to it in one of two ways. Either we're going to come to it as a collection of the ramblings of men, or we're going to come to it as a collection of the revelation of God. There really is no other way to approach it. We have to ask ourselves, every time we open the Bible, we have to do a little bit of a heart check to see how we are approaching it in one of those two perspectives. It has been troubling to me over my years in the ministry to hear Christians say, we believe it is the Word of God, a collection of the revelation of God, but they treat it like it's a collection of the ramblings of men. They skim through it. They skip over it. They just glance at it instead of digging into it. Now, of course, that's not been the case for everybody that I've had the privilege of pastoring in the church. I've had the privilege of pastoring people who did treat it like it was a collection of the revelation of God. They wanted to know it. They were passionate about knowing it. And that's the way it should be for all of us. Now, we're all going to have spells when we are more passionate than other times, but it needs to be the consistent desire of our hearts to want to know the Bible, because in knowing the Bible, we know the Word of God. We have to come to the Bible with the conviction that what is here, if we're going to believe the Bible is the Word of God, then we have to come to the Bible with the conviction that what we find there is not there by accident, it's there intentionally by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is why I'm saying we are either treating it like a collection of the ramblings of men, or we're treating it like a collection of the revelation of God. And where we get tested on this the most is when we come to what seems to be those insignificant portions of Scripture. Those things that we read at first glance and just really don't understand why it was ever put there in the first place. What's it there for? It just doesn't jump out and hit us between the eyes like other parts of the Bible do. We come to a part like that today. Luke included a small little story about a visit between two women. And, you know, it's nice. It's a nice little story. It has some powerful little bits of information in it. But, you know, at first glance, it's hard to see, you know, what are we supposed to do with that? Well, I'm not going to try to come up with some gigantic life lesson from this little portion of Scripture we're coming to right now, but we have to come to this little portion of Scripture believing that it's here because the Holy Spirit wants it here. And if the Holy Spirit wants it here, then we need to come asking, what am I supposed to take from that? First of all, do I want to know what it means? Do I want to know what the point of this little story is? The stories that we find in the Gospels especially were not put there just for the sake of entertainment. They were not there just for us to walk away with a nice little punchline. They had meaning. They do have meaning. And, you know, there may be little points of significance that we can't perfectly and exhaustively spell out every time we come to it, but we come to them over and over again, believing that as we immerse ourselves into what they reveal, God will do a work in our hearts with them, no matter how insignificant they may appear to be on the surface. Okay? So, we come to the revelation of God today. That's my conviction. I do not believe that I am going to preach and teach from the rambling of a man. I believe I'm going to preach and teach from the revelation of God, and that's going to be my conviction all the way through this book and any other book I preach through, any other series we go through. Now, the last time we left off, in our look at Luke, which I have entitled The Good News of the Great Physician. I believe that that's our theme for this book. We left off with looking at Gabriel's incredible announcement to a young virgin we know as Mary, that she would conceive a child, a son, not just any son, the Son of God. We left off with looking at the fact that she was going to be overpowered, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that in the power of God, she would conceive alone, without a man, a very special son, who would be the Lord himself. Meaning, as she would have understood it, the Messiah. Now, we saw how she was taken back by this. We saw how she was troubled by Gabriel's interruption in her day to give her this announcement. We saw how she was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. We saw how, in contrast to Zechariah not believing Gabriel's announcement that he and his old wife would bear a child in their old age supernaturally, she did believe, but she was just curious, since I'm not intimate with a man, how will this happen? Gabriel's answer was, it's going to happen by the power of God overshadowing you, so that the son you will conceive and bear into this world will be a holy child, and that he will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. And upon announcing this to Mary, Gabriel tells her, now look, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And at that point, Mary says, well, see then, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And at that point, Gabriel left her. Now, at that point, something happens in Mary's heart. Something is happening in Mary's heart. And we are going to make a transition into a new section to see what she does next in going to see her relative Elizabeth. Upon hearing from Gabriel that Elizabeth too was coming under the supernatural, had come under the supernatural power of God to bear a child in her barrenness, she suddenly came under a compulsion to go see Elizabeth. Luke records this story in his, what he calls his orderly account. He grabs the story and he plugs it in here for us to look at now. The section that we are coming to now on this covers verses 39 through 56, and I have entitled this little section, Two Pregnant Women Praise God. Because that's what we're going to see. Two women under the blessing hand of God come together in their mutual pregnancies to give praise to God for what he's doing in their lives. That's what this little section is all about. And we start today with looking at two things in particular. Mary's impulse to visit Elizabeth and Mary's impact on Elizabeth. So let's read verses 39 for today through 45. Now at this time, Mary, at this time being following the visit of Gabriel, at this time Mary set out and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed, because there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. First, Mary's impulse to visit Elizabeth. This is covered in verses 39 through 40. At this time, it says, again, literally it says, in those days. The idea here is that just as soon as she could arrange it, following Gabriel's visit to her, she had an impulse to go visit Elizabeth. That there's a line there. It's not that Gabriel made his announcement, had his visit with Mary and left, and then somewhere down the lines it popped into her mind, oh, you know, I think I might go see her. No, there is a connection between what Gabriel told her about herself and about her relative Elizabeth and her coming under an impulse to go see Elizabeth. And she went in a hurry. This is why I say it was an impulse. She was driven to go see her. And it wasn't a short little journey. And she probably went on foot. Now, I'm not going to try to read more into this than what's here, but I'm going to make a few remarks. Some things that went through my mind in trying to put myself into the story, thinking about what was going on in Mary's mind and Mary's heart. And that's what we need to do. We need to peer into it, and we need to try to put ourselves into it and think about, on a personal level, what was going on with her. Well, upon hearing the news of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary just had to go see her. She had to go see Elizabeth, I think, to share in Elizabeth's joy as well as to share her own good news. Doesn't that sound like a natural thing to do? A young teenage girl gets monumental news from an angel of heaven that she is going to bear this special child who is the Son of God, and he throws this in, by the way, your relative Elizabeth is also under the hand of God, is also experiencing a supernatural work of God. She had to go see her. I mean, it's not just the news of pregnancy that we're dealing with here, it's the type of pregnancies we're dealing with here. So it should seem very natural to us that she would be under this impulse. You know, Mary could have withdrawn into her own experience with God. A lot of people do that. A lot of people experience a blessing from God and they withdraw into it and they internalize it. They isolate themselves in it. Mary could have done that. She could have withdrawn into her own experience with God, and she could have thought to herself, you know, I'm just going to keep this to myself, and I'll let Elizabeth keep that to herself. It's easier that way. You know, sometimes for particular types of people, especially for the type of person I am, it would have been easier for me to do that. I tend to be a loner. So that's why this jumps out at me. Maybe that jumps out at me more because of that than it does for somebody else. But that struck me. She did not withdraw and isolate herself in this experience with God. She didn't become an introvert with it. She wanted to step out and share it. Okay? I think in her excitement over what God was doing in both of their lives, she was feeling compelled to go see Elizabeth. I think that for Mary, the bond between her and Elizabeth just went much deeper than their blood relation. Don't you? I think the bond between them and Mary's heart just surpassed their blood relation. There was something else much deeper, much broader, much higher, much more wonderful going on for both of them to bond both of them than just mere blood relation. Guys, isn't that the way it should be for us? I think it is. Let me tell you something. I have blood relatives in my family that are less family to me than my spiritual family. Because what has happened between us and God is a deeper and more permanent bond than what I have with my blood relatives. Okay? For Mary and Elizabeth, it was both. And we have family that it's both for, and that's wonderful. But we're looking beyond the blood relation. We're thinking beyond the blood relation. There should be a bond that forms between the people of God, the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, when we realize the wonderful things that God is doing for us. We should bond together around those works of God in our lives instead of withdrawing and isolating ourselves from one another. Remember, I think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:26. This is a good place for us to be reminded of it. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that wonderful? If one is suffering, you all suffer with him or her. If one is honored, you all rejoice with him or her. We're to be doing this together. We're to be experiencing this together. I believe there should be a strong impulse in us as brothers and sisters in Christ to get together, to bond together in support and in celebration. I think that's what Mary was going to see Elizabeth for. Both support and celebration. Not just receiving, but also giving. I think this is an example for us to follow. I think we need to make it a point to step out for this. The literal language is that she arose. She raised herself up. It was a figurative word. It doesn't mean she was literally sitting down on the ground and raised herself up. It's that she roused herself. She roused herself and she set out. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to bond together, if we're going to suffer together, if we're going to rejoice together, we have to rouse ourselves up and get together. If we're going to support one another and we're going to celebrate with one another, we have to rouse ourselves up and we have to get together. To divide our sorrow and to double our joy. I think that's what God has in mind. I think that's what was going on here. I think that Mary was feeling the impulse to go and see Elizabeth to double their joy. And that's why she was going. I think that's where the impulse was coming from. This was an exciting time for her. And she knew it was an exciting time for Elizabeth. And it was time for them to get together and share together in that. So that brings us to Mary's impact on Elizabeth. Mary's visit had a huge impact on her relative. So we are going to look at this in verses 41 through 45. And we're just going to step through this. We start with her baby and the Holy Spirit. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, somebody else heard Mary's greeting. And who was it? The baby in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth heard Mary, and the baby in her womb heard Mary. And it says he leaped. He jumped. As soon as Mary's words went into Elizabeth's ears, they went into the baby's ears, and he jumped at her greeting. Now, we'll get to more on that in a minute. Because what was going on with that baby is further explained later on in the passage. So I don't want to jump the gun. But that's the impact. Just like that. Mary spoke and greeted Elizabeth, and that baby heard it and jumped in her womb. And Mary's impact on Elizabeth was really the Holy Spirit's impact on Elizabeth. That's what we see next in that verse. This is about what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Holy Spirit of God was at work here. And he timed his impact on Elizabeth with precision and purpose to fill her at the precise instant that Mary's greeting reached her ears. Do not let that escape you. This was a sovereign, very well-timed work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not under the control of Mary. Mary was under the control of the Holy Spirit. And the moment she spoke that greeting, in the providence of the Holy Spirit, at that very moment, he filled Elizabeth. Now, can I give you a scientific explanation for what that means? No, I can't. This is a spiritual thing that's happening here. This was a daughter of God being filled by the Spirit of God. And for those of us that walk with God, we know it better than we can explain it, right? She was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which means that God had a reason for Mary's visit beyond Mary's reason for her visit. God was at work here. This was more than two pregnant women who were blood relatives getting together to talk about their pregnancies. The Holy Spirit was at work here to do something for them. And I believe that he was doing something here for the benefit of them both. I think that plays out in what we go on to see in the rest of the passage. Going on into next week and going on to look at Mary's song of praise. The Holy Spirit was doing something here for the benefit of them both. We see this start to play out in what happened next with Elizabeth's exclamation. And we're going to see that this was more than a surprised outburst, guys. Her exclamation was a prophetic affirmation of what was going on in the life of Mary, in the redemptive work of God that had implications for the entire world. Elizabeth was enraptured with Mary's incredible privilege and her baby's precious incarnation. Verse 42. And she, Elizabeth, exclaimed with a loud cry and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She shouted this. She was overcome. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and overcome. And in being overcome with the truth of what was going on here, the implications of what was going on here, she shouted this out. I would venture to say she was speaking a whole lot louder than I am now. She shouted this. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This hit her right between the eyes. Look at what God is doing with you. Out of all the women in the world, look at what God is doing with you. Look how blessed you are. This wasn't like saying, you know, we say to one another, "God bless you." And that's a good thing. It's wishing. May God bless you. That's what we mean by it. That's not what she was doing here. This was a statement. This was an emphatic statement. You are blessed of all women in the world. You are blessed among them. I believe that she was speaking by the Holy Spirit an affirming word here for Mary. Do you realize, Mary, how incredibly privileged you really are right now? It's not that I think Mary was doubting what was going on. It was just a blessing of God, another blessing of God for her, affirming her through the words of Elizabeth. Mary believed. Mary believed what the angel said. Mary believed this was going to happen, which I happen to believe had already taken place as far as the conception. I believe there's evidence here that the conception had already happened. She believed. This was just God lifting her up with the words of Elizabeth. Realize how blessed you are, Mary, among all women. And realize how blessed is the fruit of your womb. This child you are carrying. Realize how wonderfully blessed this child is of all the children ever born or ever to be born. Elizabeth knew by the Holy Spirit this was the precious incarnation of God's Son. And this welled up in her and this rolled out of her. Take this to heart, Mary. This is how blessed you are, and this is how blessed the child in your womb is, the fruit of your womb is. And in her humility, Elizabeth, at pondering the incredible privilege of Mary and the precious incarnation of her baby, in her humility, Elizabeth felt herself incredibly privileged to be visited by the mother of the ultimate royalty. That's why she said in verse 43, "And how could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord," don't you love that? Not the Lord, my Lord. The mother of my Lord would come to me. That just blesses me all over. The mother of my Lord has come to me. How could that happen? How do I warrant that? That's what Elizabeth was thinking. Isn't that refreshing? Because a whole lot of people running around today would think, you know, that that's a good thing the mother of my Lord came to me. I'm a good enough person to warrant that. Elizabeth was humbled. She wasn't puffed up with pride. She wasn't going to run out into the street and announce it to everybody, "Hey, the Lord came to see me." She was humbled. And in her humility, it was an incredible privilege for the mother of her Lord to come to her. Already, she understood, even just barely into the pregnancy, Mary was carrying the Messiah. And for Elizabeth, a true Jew, a true spiritual Jew, that was very personal for her. Now, listen. This is one of those places where we have to plug ourselves into the text. This is not just there for us to say, good for Elizabeth. I believe with all my heart, God expects us to see this coming from Elizabeth's lips and plug ourselves into it. She was not only carrying Elizabeth's Lord, she was carrying my Lord. She was carrying your Lord. She was carrying the Lord. For Elizabeth, this was very personal, and this is how this can be very personal for us. It was written down for who? It wasn't written down for them. Paul says all these things were written down. He says this to the Corinthians. All these things were written down for whose sake? For theirs and everybody to come after them, which includes us. As personal as it was for Elizabeth, it should be that personal for us. Now, we weren't there. We weren't in the house in those moments, but we're there now, aren't we? That's how these stories should start to come alive to us and come off the page for us. Mary walked into that house carrying the supernaturally conceived Lord of Elizabeth. She also walked into that house carrying the supernaturally conceived Lord of all of us. And Elizabeth could not get away from that. She couldn't get over that. Also, Elizabeth understood and explained exactly why her baby in her womb leaped at the sound of Mary's greeting. Verse 44, "For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." To put it in the way we might put it today, he jumped for joy. That's what she was saying. He jumped for joy. Again, I think the conception of the Lord had already taken place. And I think what Elizabeth was driving at here when she was speaking to Mary was, the baby in my own womb leaped, jumped for his own joy. I think that's exactly what she was saying. Now, what was going on with him? A baby in the sixth month of his development, jumping for joy, and his mom knowing that? I mean, it's no extraordinary thing for a baby to jump around in his mother's womb. That happens all the time when a baby gets well along in his or her development. It's no peculiar thing. They can be startled. They can be playful. They can move around a lot. Twitch, turn, flip and flop. That's pretty common. I think Cherylee's first experience with that with Joshua was when we went to see the Lord of the Rings. She was pretty well along with him, and what was it, 6 or 7 months along? If you've seen the Lord of the Rings, you know it's a pretty climactic movie. There's lots of battles and clash of swords and huge explosive sounds, and we're in the theater watching this thing, and she's sitting there watching it. She didn't really want to go to it in the first place, but I wanted to see it in the theater for the full experience, you know. And they went into the first battle scene, and there was this loud, thunderous clap, and Joshua about jumped out of her belly. And I mean, it hurt her. He jumped so hard. So, you know, it's a pretty normal thing. But something beyond that was happening here. That's why I'm pressing this. What was going on here that his mom would know this was something peculiar beyond the normal flipping, flopping of a normal baby? So that she could say to Mary, listen, he didn't just jump, he jumped for joy. Think back to Gabriel's announcement to John, to Zechariah about John, verses 15 through 17. You can flip a page and read it with me if you want to. But here's what he said about this baby that Elizabeth was carrying. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor. Here it is. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The Holy Spirit, at the moment of Mary's greeting, did not just fill Elizabeth. Who else did he fill? According to Gabriel's testimony, announcement, he also filled the baby. This baby would be filled from his mother's womb with the Holy Spirit. I think that's exactly what we see just happen right here. This was the forerunner to the Lord. The Lord's forerunner in Elizabeth's womb. And this was his first prophetic announcement of the arrival of our Lord. It's exactly what this was. And Elizabeth, by the Holy Spirit, understood that. Something supernatural going on here. Something supernatural. There's a supernatural connection being made between what's going on with the baby in her womb and what she's understanding in her mind. Mothers, you can feel what's going on with your baby. You can understand, like Sara Lee understood, we understood what was making Joshua jump when he was startled at that movie. We can understand the effects of external stimuli on a child. But you cannot know what is going on in the mind and heart of your baby. Elizabeth is saying, I know this to be true. The baby didn't just jump. He jumped for joy. Glad to hear your greeting, Mary. Because by the Holy Spirit, by the filling of the Holy Spirit, this baby understood who the baby was in Mary's womb. That's incredible. And so, Elizabeth went on to affirm Mary's blessedness in the assurance of the accomplishment of all Gabriel announced to her. So we come to verse 45. And blessed is she who believed, because there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. It's going to happen. All you have heard, Mary, is going to take place. Realize how blessed you are, Mary, because not only do you have this wonderful privilege, you have all this to look forward to. Everything you've heard from the angel, I know this to be true, Mary. It's all going to happen exactly as he said. You have conceived. You will give birth to the very Son of God. Realize how wonderfully blessed you are in this, because I realize how wonderfully blessed you are in this, Mary. That's what Elizabeth was saying. Now, for Mary and Elizabeth, this was a time of mutual celebration in their mutual blessedness. It was a time of great joy for them. Abounding joy. Abounding to the point that it just burst out of Elizabeth. She couldn't contain it. She couldn't just sit down at the table in the kitchen and say, well, you know, let's talk about it. She had to shout this out. She was so filled with joy when she was filled with the Holy Spirit at the prospect of all that was going on here with Mary and with her and how they were connected in this. The connection between the two babies in their womb connected them in the work of God, in the blessing of God. And guys, I think their joy should be our joy, because their blessedness is our blessedness, and we should share it together. Listen to me. We are in verse 45. We're in verse 45. Do you know why we're in verse 45? Because now we're looking back on all that happened. They were looking forward to all that happened. We're looking back on all that happened. The assurance of all that took place was for our assurance down through all the ages. Do you know why? She was carrying our Lord and Savior. That's why their blessedness, her blessedness, is our blessedness. Because she was carrying our Lord and Savior. And the fact that it did all work out in the providence of God is why you and I are here today, saved and sanctified. Saved by God and set apart to God. Because it was fulfilled. And so we're blessed. Right? Let's share in it together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you have fulfilled for us. Thank you that we have these wonderful glimpses into redemptive history so that we can step into what you did all those millennia ago and take it to heart. We can take it to ourselves. We can get a hold of it and we can make it our own, because it is our story. We're here. We're in this. were included in this. Because all that you did was for all of your children through all the ages. Father, I pray this will be so personal for us that it just grips us all over and wells up in us that joy that they had, so that we can't help but celebrate. We can't help but praise you. We can't help but look at each other and say, do you realize how blessed you are because of what the Lord has done for you? Have your glory in this, Father. And continue to bless our walk through this book as you continue to unfold your word for us. In Jesus and in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing one more.